You know, this is the second half, like I said, of last week's sermon. And if you remember the title, we looked at Popeye, and it was, "I've had all's I can take, and I can't stands it no more." And what we're really talking about is in our being, we get frustrated, and we have a passion, and we're wanting to rise up. I don't know how you feel, but at this point in this study on Ephesians 2:10, but I want to see us as a church rise up. Rise up and change the world around us. And I don't know if you can see that yet, but that's happening in the church. A lot of people are rising up. A lot of things are happening. They're different than they have been. And I really feel like the Lord is moving through us as a church. So let's just start with our scripture this morning. You're in the yellow. I'm in the white. And you need to yell out, okay? "For we are his workmanship, which God prepared beforehand." Good. All right. Now, walking in good works is easy and it's hard, basically because we as Christians, most of us, are somewhat unaware of what God has equipped us to do on a personal basis. And in fact, one of the reasons that I wanted to continue talk about this subject is to awaken your soul, for its intended purpose. And you know, as a Christian, one of the greatest things that can happen in your life is if you figure out what your purpose is and what it is that you do, it awakens your soul and you almost become a different person in that sense. And so last week we talked about three ways to identify our spiritual gifts and talents and abilities, and I want to add a PS to this, okay? I am convinced that not all the spiritual gifts out there are listed in the Bible, because there's too many, and there's too many people, and I think that Paul was the one that mostly talked about spiritual gifts, and he named some so we would understand what's going on. But to name them all, I think, would take as much as the Bible is written, to be honest with you, because they're so varied and so changed depending on personality. So I want to add that PS I had talked about maybe doing a spiritual, getting into spiritual gifts, and it only hits some of them, okay? So you can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and so on, and read about some of those, but there are a lot more, okay? Now, these are the three areas that we talked about last week, okay? The first one is taking a spiritual gift test on the internet. They're free, and you just put in "free spiritual gift tests," and you can take three or four of them so you can kind of get, put them together and kind of get a picture. That's the first one. The second one is we talked about looking at your, evaluating your history. What have you been doing in the past? And you're probably gravitating to that which you do, right? Because it's just like me. If I do something that I don't think is in my gift mix, it's really hard for me to do. And I don't like it. And yet when I do it in my spiritual gift mix, it seems so easy. Just seems so easy. So look at your history and try to figure out what that is. And the third one, and we're going to continue today, is identifying your holy discontentment or your frustration over places of chaos that drive you crazy, both inside and outside of church, and I might add that nobody else seems to notice, right? Have you ever done that? You look around and you go, "Man, doesn't anybody care?" Okay, that's probably because you have a gift in that area. And as I said last week also, that you need to find that honest person who will tell you the truth. Okay, you remember these scriptures: "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." But speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And so what we see here, and the reason I'm saying that is because you need someone who will confidently tell you the truth so that you don't head out in the wrong direction. All right, that you head in the right directions, because there's friends around you can say, "Yeah, I know you really got a passion for that, but I don't think that's your area, because you don't do well in it, but you may do really well here." And it's always good to have that friend, isn't it, that does that? All right, and so Paul says here that we can't grow and come into our own as a mature Christian without knowing the clear truth in our life. You following me on that? Okay. All right. So this morning, we are asking the question, why do we even need to know our spiritual gifts? You know, and I've had people, my dad was one of them, who always said to me, Steve, I don't think you need to know your spiritual gifts. You just go out and do stuff. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, there's no scripture for that. It talks about spiritual gifts, but here's the thing. Let's say we're in the army and we're having a battle and the soldier next to you doesn't know what he's supposed to do. Would you want to go into battle with that guy covering your backside? Are we in an army? Think about it. We're in the Lord's army, aren't we? And we need somebody, we need everybody to know what they do and that they have our back so we can do it together. Okay? And everybody does a different part, so we don't need to judge each other. Everybody does something different. And we get out and fight the good fight. Here's what Paul said to Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith, Timothy. And therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. And so whatever gift that Timothy had, every once in a while, we all need to stir it up, don't we? Because we get going for a while and we kind of get lax and you know, maybe not enough cooperation or things are happening in our life and all of a sudden we need to rekindle that gift and get going, okay? So the question really this morning is, how do we use our passion, our holy discontentment to serve God with the gifts and talents we have? So I found this author. His name is Robert Quinn. He's a professor at the University of Michigan. He's a godly man and a godly professor. And he put it into two places. The normal state, which is where we normally live and we just go about our business. And then the fundamental state, he talks about where all of a sudden we have this passion and this holy discontent that we want to get out and we want to make a difference in the world, okay? And so I want to quote some things from him because he discovered when people enter into their passion, their holy discontentment or their frustration, that changes occur. And he began to record these changes and said that these people who move to this fundamental state, this place where you work in your passion for God, that gears shift and they begin to operate on a new level. And we see that, don't we? We see that in people. All of a sudden, they're operating on a different level. And I'm always kind of pleasantly shocked when I see somebody rise up and do something because they really feel motivated by God to do it. And so according to Quinn, people can actually migrate at will from the normal state to what he calls his fundamental state. And this is helpful to know because we might be stuck in that normal state without knowing it. And here's how we can tell. And if you are in Quinn's normal state, he says this about you and I when we're in the normal state. You are almost entirely self-absorbed. You have a reactive approach to life. You try to maintain the status quo regardless of how unbearable it might be. And think about it. Isn't that true? We just hang on and hang on. And Professor Quinn in his book says, and this book is called Building the Bridge as You Walk on It. I love that title because that is the Christian life. You're building the bridge as you walk, okay? And he says, when we accept the world as it is, by living in the normal state, we deny our ability to see something better and hence our ability to be something better. This is life in the normal state. Then Professor Quinn says, what's not normal is not embracing the fact that there's another state to live in. To remain in the normal state, he says, is to choose death. The normal state is so self-seeking that you can spin your wheels for a lifetime and never once impact the world around you. Then he says, yet others in the fundamental state care about getting results. They begin to live and breathe life in a different realm. They operate with intentionality. They act with massive doses of enthusiasm and persistence. They surrender their egos because the cause simply can't afford their pride. They open themselves to any and all new ideas, regardless of where the suggestions come from, and concentrate at higher levels and focus more intensely because the goal they're pursuing demands it. Now, he studied all this and recorded all this. Quinn says they take risks that normally wouldn't be taken because they have to. There's too much at stake not to. And their creativity kicks up a notch. Their energy soars. Their passion swells more than a theory. And it's the frustration and overwhelming desire to create change for the better, to change the world in which we live. That's the way he describes it. Now, as I read Robert Quinn's statement, and he's an interesting guy because he had this great job at Michigan, 10 years a professor, and people would crowd his classes. His church challenged him to go to South America and start a mission for 3 years. And he prayed about it and thought, you know what? It was right down his passionate aisle, and he quit as a professor and went to South America and established a ministry. Because he saw it had to be done. It had to be done. Now, I look at this, you and I, with the normal state and with the fundamental state, and I want to give you another section of where I felt I moved from the normal state to the to this fundamental state, and we can go back and forth, you know that. And so for me, and I told last week what occurred at my father and mother-in-law's church. Do you remember that? That changed my life to go into ministry. And then what started this church was I went to Richie's Bible study. Now, the Richie family was right in the beginning helping us start this, and we had a Bible study in their factory just south on Road 2. And we had all these people coming, and I had never come, and so a friend of mine challenged me to come to this Bible study. And after the Bible study was over, a bunch of guys got into a circle, and I was just kind of listening, and they were talking about what happens. It'll sound funny to you, but what happens when somebody tells you a dirty joke? Should you listen? Should you walk away? And they're going through, and as I listened, I realized they just didn't have any biblical knowledge. They just didn't know. And right then, I don't know what it was, but there was something that hit me right to the core. I know it was the Holy Spirit. Was like, Steve, you have got to teach these people the Word of God. They don't know it. And I had told my friend, I said, you know, there's 33 churches in Brighton. They don't need a 34th. That was my response. And when that day occurred and I listened to them and I listened to how they tried to handle it, immediately I thought, oh man, I think God is calling me to start this church. And so in 1992, I became impassioned about educating, and I still am to this day. 20 years later, I am impassioned that you know the Word of God so that you can live a fruitful life in Christ and know who you are in Christ and be able to love on Christ and love on people and do what God wants you to till that day that He comes and gets us. That's my goal, my passion. And it always been. And just like I said last week, I am going to teach the Word of God clear and straight, and I'm going to get hassled about it because I may not say the same thing as the next guy down the street, but I don't care. I got to answer to Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And also understand, I want you to put this in the framework because this is how it is. 3 weeks earlier than that day, I woke up in the morning and I rolled over to Deb and I said, Deb, I'm done. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I'm done. I'm not going to ever go in the ministry. I've given that dream up. I'm just going to work a job and I'm going to give my money to missions and church. Have you ever said that kind of stuff? And I'm not going to do the ministry. I'm just not cut out for it. That was 3 weeks earlier. Isn't that funny how God works? You know, in a blink of an eye, it is possible that one day you may wake up and all of a sudden feel like, I have got to do this. Have you ever felt that way about anything? I'm sure you have. You're all looking at me like I'm talking up here alone. Are you getting it? Okay. You may wake up and all of a sudden you realize you have a something that you've got to do for the kingdom of God, and you can't not do it because you're not going to be the same if you don't. And you will serve the kingdom of God rather than talking about your dreams and talking about what you might do. That'll all end, and you will get up and you will do it. And that's what Ephesians 2:10 is talking about, that we might walk in Him. Now listen to me. I got to warn you here. Really, I got to warn you. If you get up and do what Christ is asking you to do, people are going to tell you you're crazy. I mean, just stop to think about it. I'm a pastor, and so who wants to hang around a pastor? Everybody in the city wants me to be holy, right? Be holier than anybody else, and they'll judge me if I'm not, and I can't do a lot of the things that anybody else does because I'm a pastor, and because of that, I probably don't understand the real world. And people criticize. And I remember one lady, one of the mayors of Brighton said, "Oh, when Harvest does a funeral, they just take advantage of everybody's emotions. And you got to swallow that and live with it." You know what I'm saying? And just talk to them. And so it's crazy. And I look at this and I think, it's an enjoyable ride, but people will say you're crazy. They'll say you're out of your mind. They will do everything they can to discourage you. They'll keep telling you discouraging things. And why? Because it convicts them, right? Because they're not. And so you'll be a lunatic, you'll be a crazy dreamer, and you'll even be a fool if you stand up and do what God is wanting you to do. Now, as I thought about that, I thought, do we have people that live in the fundamental state at Harvest? Okay. And I thought I'd share this so you could see that there you have company if you're going to join this. Let's take Bob Hill. He's up here. Okay. And he's been a pastor. He's done youth group for years. He's back doing youth group. He loves youth group. And so crazy Bob Hill decides, well, and we give him a part-time, a very part-time wage. And so he came to me one day and he says, "Steve, you know what? I'm going to try to live on that wage and be full-time youth." I said, "Well, Bob, you're crazy. You can't. I mean, nobody can do that." And he says, "No, I'm going to figure out. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to do it." So what did he do? He cleaned up the house he's in, sold off a lot of furniture, that kind of thing, and he's moving in with mom and dad into the basement, he and his wife, and they're going to live there and help pay her mom and dad's rent together so they don't have it, and he's going to rent out his house, lease out his house, so that he can live on the money, so that he can do full-time ministry in youth for you guys as kids here. Now, is that crazy? He's a lunatic. Well, he is, isn't he? We might even say Bob Hill's a fool. But boy, does he have passion. You ever see him with the youth? Woohoo! Debbie Bassett is another one I look at, and she does the Mega Kids, and she really, really gets a part-time. She just has a little bit. We give her a little bit, and here's Debbie. When she came into the church, and I've known her for... Well, she was my wife's best friend in California before they even moved here. So it's been probably 40 years they've known each other. And she was going to school to get her master's degree in business, and she's one course away from graduating with her master's of business, okay? And she came to me and she said, "Steve, I can't do this anymore." She said, "I walked off my job, and it was a high-paying job because I'd worked with her. She walked off her job, and she told her husband, 'I just can't do anymore. I've got to do something for the kingdom of God. I cannot work and make money.' She said, 'I want to change people's lives. I want to change kids' lives.'" So, and Debbie and I were just about to ask her, "Hey, would you like to do Mega Kids?" And she came to us and said, "Could I do Mega Kids?" And so she's taking it over. Now, what she's doing with your kids is she is making the curriculum. She's not buying curriculum. She's making the curriculum. She's making it for each teacher all the way down through preschool, so that, and gives them the tools, has the tools ready so they can just go in and teach, so it doesn't take them much. And she does all this on nothing. And then she works in the office, and she helps me out in the office doing that. And I have to say, she's about the most lunatic person I've ever met. Isn't she? She's crazy. She was making good money. One more class that she could get her master's degree in business, and she doesn't care anymore. I think about Eddie Cook up here, who just gave the announcements, and he lives in South Englewood, and he has a bookstore, Christian Used Books. You might have been there. I don't know. It's down on Hamden and, is it? I can't remember. Broadway. Hamden and Broadway. And that bookstore supports him enough that he decided after 22 years of ministry, he would get out of the little church he was in, because he was working full-time in the bookstore in that little church, because he said, you know what, Steve, I want to come up to Harvest because there's so many opportunities, and I've been a pastor all my life, and I'm doing the pastor thing, but that's not really my gift. My gift is evangelism. My gift is talking to people, counseling them, and leading them to Jesus Christ. And he said, I want to come up and take the opportunity at Harvest. So every week he drives from South Englewood to here, and when he gets here, he almost wets his pants. He's so excited. He's excited about people coming into this church. And he wants to lead them to the Lord. And every week he has somebody over, and he's praying with them and talking with them. And he's talking to me about how he can broaden that ministry here. And he keeps driving back and forth and back and forth. And his wife's a happy camper. And they're all thrilled. Now, I'm telling you, that's lunacy. Right? That's lunacy. Gordon and Bonnie Lang. I don't know if you know Gordon. He does some janitorial work around here and maintenance and that kind of thing. And he came in one day, and we were having a couples evening, and he came in and asked me if he could help wash the dishes with me. And so he got in there, and we're washing dishes, and he said, Steve, I'm from an entirely different denomination, all that kind of thing, and we moved from Alaska down here into Todd Creek, and he said, every time I drive past Harvest, he said, man, God pulls my heart. And he said, I feel like God is telling me, you go help Steve. He said, I have heard that over and over. You go help Harvest Fellowship, and you help Harvest Fellowship grow. So he came in. We had a membership class, and I asked the people, membership class, how'd you come to know the Lord, and what is it that you like doing? And it got over to him, and he said, my name's Gordon, and I'm here to help the pastor. Well, is that crazy? I don't even get it. And so he helps every time, they've been helping here ever since. But you know what's really loony about him? He and his wife decided that all these kids in Alaska that had some kind of major disease, some debilitating disease, they looked at it and they both said, we're going to take all these kids in. And they started taking all these kids in on life support and this kind of thing. And I don't know how many deaths they saw, but they had over 1,400 kids throughout their lifetime taken care of. Me and went to Washington, D.C. because they were in a national parenting, some kind of parenting award they got nationally. And the president gave it to them because they were taking these kids. Just had one that just died recently up in Alaska, and they went up for the funeral. They'd had him for many, many years. And I look at that and I think 1,400 kids, and to be honest with you, he's never told me or she's never told me, I don't know how many of those have passed on because they were diseased, but they took care of them and took care of them and took care of them. And I think, who in their right mind would do that? Who would take care of these sick and ill people? Only somebody that loves God half to death. Amen? And they had to retire from it because they're getting older, and so they decided to come to Harvest and give their lives to Harvest and to God, and we get them. but they're loony. Jamie Minnie, my own daughter, wanted her kids to be able to learn the scripture, and so she decided to form an Awana. She'd never done an Awana program before, so she gathered a bunch of people. Some of them are here today. And so they all got together, and they decided, we're going to do this Awana thing, and we're going to get their kids. And they have 80 kids coming every week from fall through the spring to learn, and they have memory verses every week. Now, I didn't even know my daughter could do that. And she did that, and she's done other things. And I think, oh, man, Jamie, you are loony. You're a crazy woman. And all the people with you are crazy. Are you out of your mind? Damon Eddy, over here, comes to our church, and he sits through our services for about 3 or 4 weeks. Wasn't it before you wrote me an email on the men's thing? And was very affected, and he wrote me this 4-page email trying to convince me to do a men's group, which is funny because before we built the building, we had a pretty roaring men's group. And so he came and he said, I have this burden for a men's group. And so I met with him. I said, look, here's the deal, Damon. If you run it, we'll do it. And what's happened? We've got 100 men coming out to love on their wives better, to love on their kids better, to know the scriptures, to improve their life. And it's because Damon's out of his mind, right? He's living in that fundamental state, not in the normal state. Terry Hagen and Patty Fries, they do our finances. They've been doing our finances for years. In QuickBooks, and they put all that in. They're in there before most of you get here on Sunday morning, and they're putting everything in, and they're trying to get it perfect because their goal is to give it over to the auditor, and there's no mistakes, and they get there. But it's hard work, and they do it for free, and they've been doing it for years and years and years. And I think they really are crazy. I would not want to do that kind of work. Will Deer, Rachel Deer, all the others that play in the worship band on Sunday, they've been doing this for years. They stepped up to the plate. Will stepped up to the plate. He was playing in the worship band way back before we, I think it was at 123 Main Street, and then there was an opening. He stepped up to the plate as the worship leader. And you know what his goal is? He wants all of you to be able to engage in worship so you can worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And these guys come in on Thursdays at 7 o'clock till about 10:30, rehearsing and rehearsing, learning new songs and rehearsing, and then playing them. They don't get any pay because they're crazy. They're lunatics. They're fools for Christ. These are just a few. I realized as I started to do these, and I just wanted to give you a few, I could go on and on and on with crazy people at Harvest Fellowship. These are people that decided not to live in the normal state any longer, but to get into that what Quinn calls the fundamental state for Christ and live their life out in Christ doing what they do. And if you go to them, you're going to find out something here. You're going to find out they're not very bored. They may be scattered. They may feel pressure. They may feel a lot of things, but one of them isn't boredom. Because these people, along with many other people in this church and outside this church, are facing the challenge to advance the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit is working in their lives to get that done. And I want to say this, God is looking for you if you aren't one of those. Do you know that? There isn't anybody exempt. If you think you're sitting far enough back in those chairs, I'm sorry, you didn't get far enough back. Today, God wants everybody engaged in the body of Christ with a mission in their life to advance the kingdom of God, because he wants to see as many as he can. God desires that all men come to him, meaning all people. And so the question I have for you this morning is, have you had your Popeye moment yet? I've had all's I can stand. I can't stands it no more. And are you to that place yet? And if you aren't, pray about it. Ask the Lord to be able to help you understand your gifts and talents. And then stand up and fight for the kingdom. Are you with me? Father, we just come today. We're excited, Lord, because you're moving in the church. Things are happening. People are moving forward to the kingdom. People are getting saved. People are, lives are beginning to change. And we look at this, Lord, and we're so excited. We want to be a part of a vibrant ministry. We want to be part of a ministry that is changing lives for you. And Lord, I just pray this morning that everybody sitting here will get bitten by this bug, that we might become fools and lunatics and crazy for Jesus Christ. That we might get after it as a church and get out into our community and bring people in, or get them, talk with them there, or have Bible studies or have conversations. And Lord, may you show us vision in the way that we can do that. And then Lord, help us to get up out of our chair and do it. Our heads are still bowed. You might be here this morning and you've come and you don't know, you don't even have a relationship with God. I want to talk to you for a second. You know, God has made it, he said that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 10:9, it says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm going to say a little prayer here. And if I'm talking to you today, and today's the day that you really want to give your life over to God, you just pray this prayer with me. Nothing magical about the prayer, just to kind of lead you into the relationship. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. God, I believe that you rose from the dead, just like that verse said, and you rose from the dead for me. So come in and save me today. While the heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning with me and you really meant it, will you stick your hand up, put it back down, let God know you meant business today? Just put it up and put it back down. Father, we just thank you so much for your love and grace. May you be glorified today in Jesus' name. Amen.